Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the March Madness round of 64 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. If you're watching the video version of this on YouTube, Bacon Bets podcast channel, please subscribe. You'll see I have my glasses on for the first time ever in a Bacon Bets podcast episode. I have a button-up shirt on. Why? Because it's serious business. I'm betting on every single NCAA tournament game. I actually don't know how many games that is. I'm too lazy to do the math, but it's a lot of games. I'm going to bet on every single one of them. Including all 32 games in the round of 64. So I've got a lot of picks to get through, my friends. I have also bet on the first four games. I'm recording this 11:23 Eastern on Tuesday night. I won the first one, Wagner plus 3.5. Not looking like I'm going to win Virginia. They're down by a ton. So probably 1-1 after the first night. We'll see how the second night goes. If you want my picks for the first four games, as well as my bracket and my best bets to win the national champion, check out the most recent episode of the podcast, which I recorded Monday night or Sunday night. It was Sunday night. March Madness, all days mush into one. But on this episode, I'm strictly going through my best bets for the first round. I will not have picks for the games involving the two teams who have yet to play, who will play on Wednesday night. I'll have to tweet out my picks for those games. Those are the games involving, it is the winner of Colorado and, why am I blanking on who Colorado is playing? I don't know. And then the other two 16 seeds that nobody cares about. I'll have to just tweet out my picks for those. Also, Wagner against, I think, UNC. I don't have my pick locked in for that. Maybe I'll do it live at the end of the show, and then maybe by the end of me recording this episode, maybe the Virginia Colorado State game is over. I can give my pick out for the winner of that game against, I forget who they play, but I will look it into it. But I do have my best bets for the other 28 games. So I will get through them right now. I don't want to waste any time in the intro because we have a lot of games to get through. I will say I have handicapped all of these games deep. I'm not going to give you my deep handicap for every single game or else this would be a 3-hour long episode. So I'll give you my bullet points that I think are the most important bullet points for each game for the opening round. Once again, if you want to know my bracket, check out the last episode of the podcast I recorded a couple nights ago. But let's get into it. I'm going to go through chronological order. So let's dive into it. It is the round of 64 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. Let's go.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws.
More bacon than the pan can handle. 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 Utility man.
All right, here we go. It is the round of 64 games. Starting off with an 8-9 game, Michigan State versus Mississippi State. It is the first game on Thursday, which I will say, listen, I'm a fan of a lot of different sports. I'm an NFL guy, obviously. Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl week is one thing. I'm an NHL guy. The NHL playoffs are unbelievable. I'm a golf guy. Masters week is one of the best sporting weeks of the entire year. But if you were to ask me what my favorite sporting week of the year is, I think it's the first week of March Madness. I don't think there's anything better. Thursday and Friday, the first round of March Madness is electric. You can't keep up. There's too many games, too many bets. You get up, you get down, you look at one game, something goes your way. You look at another game, something goes against you. It's too much to keep up with. It's unbelievable. The drama, the excitement, the bets. Oh, I can't wait for it. And the first game, nothing is more exciting than the first tip of the first game on Thursday. It's Michigan State against Mississippi State. Not a bad first game. An intriguing first game. Also one that I'm not too confident in when it comes to handicapping, but I have settled on Michigan State -1.5 against Mississippi State. Now, I locked in all these bets on Monday night, so some line movements have happened since I recorded them. I'll go through and let you know which of the games that I've bet have moved. This one... has not. It is still -1.5 for Michigan State. So I do like Michigan State even at the current line here. Once again, just going to go through the bullet points, not going to do a too deep of a dive in each game or else this podcast would take 4 years. So I'll just give you my main bullet points. A couple quick things. Mississippi State is 293rd in the country in turnovers per possession, so they cough up the ball a ton. And one of the biggest strengths for Michigan State is that they force a ton of turnovers, 73rd in opponent turnovers per possession. Also, Mississippi State, a top 10 perimeter defense, so they do very well against teams who shoot the three ball, but they do not do good well against teams who shoot more two-point field goals, and that's what Michigan State does. Michigan State, 37th in two-point shot rate, and they're taking on Mississippi State, which ranks 174th in opponent two-point field goal percentage. All of that is to say, I think the stylistic matchup fits Michigan State quite well in this one. So even though I do value the SEC a little bit higher than the Big Ten this year, I think the stylistic matchup is enough for me to trust Michigan State. So I'll take Michigan State -1.5 against Mississippi State for my first bet for the round of 64. Moving on, we got Duquesne against BYU. I will take the 10 points with Duquesne. Duquesne +10 against BYU. Duquesne would not be in the tournament if they did not win the A-10 tournament. But still, I think 10 is too many points. Once again, don't forget, we're not just betting on which team we think is going to win. There is a point spread involved. I obviously think BYU is going to win, but I think 10 is too wide of a point spread for the Cougars. BYU, much better shooting team than Duquesne, no question about it. But they rely on three-pointers. BYU actually has the second highest three-point shot rate in the entire country. But Duquesne, that is their biggest defensive strength, 53rd in the country in opponent three-point field goal percentage. And also, Duquesne does force a ton of turnovers, 49th in opponent turnovers. So they have the defense to stop BYU, and they do force a lot of turnovers, which is what I look for throughout the tournament. You'll find me citing that stat quite a bit. When I'm looking at underdogs, I want underdogs who can force turnovers and slash or grab offensive rebounds. We want teams who can create extra scoring opportunities, and Duquesne can do that by forcing turnovers. So I will take the 10 points with Duquesne against BYU in the second game. I always like to do a big money line upset for the first round. We're only three games into it, and I'm already giving you what my big money line upset is. Famously, people forget, how many years ago? Damn, it's 2024. Was it the 2020 tournament was canceled? So it must have been 2021. Must have been the 2021 tournament. I called Abilene Christian to upset Texas in the first round. Not to pat myself on the back a little bit. I think I was the only person in the world who called Abilene Christian to pull off that upset. I have now been living off that high for 3 years. It was an electric game too. I think it was the last game either on Thursday or Friday night, an electric game. Abilene Christian pulled it off. I've been chasing that high ever since in the first round of March Madness. The game I'm going to be chasing that high with this year is Akron. I'm going to take them plus 650, money line, underdog alert, money line, underdog alert. Give me Akron, the Zips, plus 650 to upset Creighton in the opening round. If you listen to my bracket podcast, then you know why I don't like Creighton. Dead last in opponent turnovers, 277th in offensive rebounding, which results in them ranking 335th in the country in extra scoring chances per game at minus 4.0. Now, they are a very good shooting team, and they have a very good shooting defense. But if they don't have a good shooting game, they are susceptible to be beat by anyone. Because what you want is a team who can shoot well, but then they have the tools and the abilities to make up for it when they don't shoot well by creating extra possessions. Creighton does not do that. So if they shoot well, great, they're going to win. If they don't shoot well, they don't have the other aspects of their game. They don't have enough of those other aspects to make up for it. By the way, Creighton, 7th in the country in 3-point shot rate. If you watch college basketball, then you absolutely know that. Akron, 14th in the country in opponent 3-point field goal percentage. Akron has a very good perimeter defense. I think they can shut down Creighton on the perimeter, and if they even slow down Creighton on the perimeter, this game is going to get a little sketchy for the Blue Jays. So I'm calling my shot. It is a 14 seed, I believe, upsetting a three seed this year. That's the upset I'm looking at. Akron, plus 650. Keep your points. I'll take the money line, plus 650 against Creighton. Next up, Arizona against... Actually, let me double-check to see what the odds movement are for these games. So, Michigan State has not moved. Duquesne's at plus 9.5. I do still like Duquesne at plus 9.5. Creighton has stayed steady... Akron has stayed steady at plus 650. Arizona still at minus 20.5, and that is what I'll take. I'll take Arizona minus 20.5 against Long Beach State. Yes, I might just be a little bit sour that Long Beach State upset my UC Irvine Anteaters in the conference tournament and knocked them out. But I know nobody knows the Big West better than I know the Big West. I will tell you that right now, my friends. And Long Beach State stinks. They're not even good as a Big West team, and now they got to take on Arizona. Arizona might win this game by 40 points. If you want to take an alternate spread, go ahead and do it. Long Beach State in the Big West, mind you, with a Big West schedule, ranks 255th in effective field goal percentage, 211th in opponent effective field goal percentage, while playing Big West teams. If they rank 255th in the country in shooting and 211th in the country in opponent shooting or shooting defense with a Big West schedule, how are they going to do against Arizona? Not good. Especially when Arizona does something that lends to blowouts, and that's they create extra scoring chances per game, 6th in the country in that stat. Also 3rd in average scoring margin, plus 15.7. If they're beating Pac-12 opponents by an average of 15.7 points per game, I think they can beat Long Beach State by 21 points. Long Beach State can suck it. How about that? Give me Arizona minus 20.5. As of recording this podcast, that number is still available out there. Next up, we have Morehead State against Illinois. I will take Morehead State plus 12 against Illinois. Morehead State is 9th in opponent effective field goal percentage, so they have a very good shooting defense. Illinois, 3rd last in opponent turnover. So Illinois is actually sneakily, now they do offensive rebound a lot better than Creighton does, but Illinois sneakily kind of one of those teams where if they don't shoot well, they could run into some trouble. Morehead State 25th in 3-point shot rate. So Morehead State shoots a ton of threes. Illinois 213th in opponent 3-point field goal percentage. So I think Morehead State can attack the perimeter of Illinois. I will take them plus 12 against the Fighting Illini. I think the toughest game to handicap in the entire first round, to be honest, is South Carolina against Oregon. I went back and forth. I could not decide on a winner. I had to pick one because that's what this show is. I went South Carolina. South Carolina minus 1.5, minus 105 against Oregon. They shoot the three a ton, 85th in 3-point shot rate. Oregon has a bad perimeter defense, 227th in opponent 3-point field goal percentage. South Carolina does also have a better shooting defense, 54th in opponent effective field goal percentage. And the SEC, in my opinion, has had a better year and is a tougher conference than the Pac-12. So I will give South Carolina the slight edge, -1.5. Might be my least confident play of the round of 64, to be honest. But I'll take South Carolina -1.5. Next up, I am doing total bets as well. It's either a spread, money line, or a total. This is my first total bet. I don't have many of them. I only have like two or three, I think. This is one of them for the first round. It is Dayton against Nevada. I'm going over 136.5. Just checking to see updated spreads here. Yeah, all these are good. Still over 136.5 available for Dayton and Nevada. Similar in almost every single area. Another very, very tough game to handicap, no matter what stat you look at. Both teams are very close to one another. Dayton is ninth in effective field goal percentage, 41st in floor percentage. You'll hear me reference floor percentage a few times when talking about totals. Floor percentage is the percentage of a team's possessions that result in at least 1 point being scored. So when we're talking totals, floor percentage is a good stat to look at. So ninth in effective field goal percentage, 41st in floor percentage. Nevada's 56th in effective field goal percentage, 18th in floor percentage. Also, if you look at combined points per game, Nevada 143.2 combined points per game, Dayton 141 combined points per game, yet the total for the game's 136.5. Doesn't make sense to me. I will take the over. Next up, we got Kentucky against Oakland. And in this one, I will be laying the points with Kentucky. I'll take Kentucky -13.5, -110 against Oakland here. Kentucky, I think they are being underrated. Fourth in the country in effective field goal percentage. They are the best three-point shooting team in the country. A lot of people like to say Kentucky doesn't play good defense. The numbers don't back that up. I'd like to know why that's the case. I guess I haven't watched much to Kentucky this year. I know they give up a ton of points, but that's because they play at such a fast pace that other teams have a ton of possessions against them. Like if you look at opponent possessions per game, let me do that here for a second. If I look up opponent possessions per game, I bet you, oh, I can't. This site only has possessions per game. Still, Kentucky has the fourth most possessions per game, so you would think their opponents would have probably around the fourth most possessions per game. So because of that, when you look at opponent points per game, so how many points Kentucky's giving up per game, they're giving up 340th in the country in opponent points per game, giving up 79.7, but let's look into that a little bit deeper. An opponent effective field goal percentage, Kentucky ranks 116th, and in defensive efficiency, they rank 203rd. Not great numbers, but everyone says they have a terrible defense. I don't know if that's the case. I think they have an average defense that the pace they play at makes their defense look worse than what it is. Oakland, on the other hand, 207th in an opponent effective field goal percentage. I don't think Oakland can keep up with an athletic team like Kentucky. I will lay the points with the Wildcats, who I think, if you want to look at a dark horse, are they even a dark horse? I think they're 20-25-1. Kentucky might go on a little bit of a run here in this tournament. Wouldn't be surprised. Gonzaga versus McNeese State. McNeese State is going to be a popular dark horse pick. I'm not going to fall for it because this might be a hot take, but Gonzaga, I actually think they're a lot better than people think. Maybe they don't have the star power that they've had in previous years. They don't have, you know, the Jalen Suggs, the Chet Holmgren, the Drew Timmy. But Gonzaga is a very, very, very good team. Eighth in effective field goal percentage, 35th in opponent effective field goal percentage, sixth in average scoring margin. Now, they play the West Coast Conference, but if you look at their metrics, purely their metrics compared to previous Gonzaga teams, they're right up there. But yet people do not look at them nearly at the same light as they've looked at previous iterations of the Bulldogs. So I like Gonzaga quite a bit. I'm not a fan of McNeese. I think McNeese had one of the worst schedules of all the conference champions here. They have worse stats with a worse schedule. Surprise, the spread's only 6. I'll take Gonzaga -6. I will be taking the points in a big spread with this one. And this is, I'm actually going against a team that I like quite a bit. I'm going against Iowa State. I'm going to take South Dakota State +17 -112 against Iowa State. Let me see if I can fix it. Oh, there we go. South Dakota State, 131st in turnovers. But they did a much better job not turning it over down the stretch. If you look at their numbers through the conference tournament, they actually held onto the ball quite a bit more, which is going to be huge in this game. And they also shoot the ball very, very well. 17th in effective field goal percentage. I think this spread's a few points high. Don't get me wrong. I think Iowa State should be favored by quite a bit. I set the line to probably Iowa State minus 15.5. So at 17, I think we're getting some value here with South Dakota State, purely based on if they can hold on to the ball like they did through their conference tournament, and if they can keep up their shooting a little bit, I'll take South Dakota State plus 17. We're going back to another total bet. This time I'm going to go with an under bet. It is Tennessee against St. Peter's. I will go under 130. St. Peter's, 349th in the country in effective field goal percentage. Tennessee's 7th in opponent effective field goal percentage. We truly have in this game. By the way, I'm watching UC Irvine against Utah on NIT. They just tied it up 31-31. No big deal. UC Irvine should have been in the tournament. No big deal. We have arguably the worst shooting team in the country taking on one of the arguably the best shooting defense in the country. 349th is St. Peter's in effective field goal percentage. Tennessee's 7th in opponent effective field goal percentage. I considered taking St. Peter's under their team total. I did not. I'm just going to go under for the game because also Tennessee, not a great shooting team, 138th in effective field goal percentage. St. Peter's 22nd in opponent effective field goal percentage. So St. Peter's certainly a little bit more exaggerated, but at the end of the day, we have two teams who are very bad off it, or I won't say Tennessee's very bad. We have two teams who are significantly better defensively than offensively. Also, if you look at opponent floor percentage, these two teams are 13th and 34th. I'll take the under, 130, minus 110. Texas Tech, NC State. I will take Texas Tech minus 5. I've talked about Texas Tech. I'm high on them for some reason. I don't know if it's their jersey colors. I don't know if it's just fun to say Texas Tech. I don't know if it's because Patrick Mahomes went to Texas Tech, but I will take the minus 5 against NC State. NC State, I think the Cinderella run stops here after a great conference tournament. At the end of the day, they're 171st in effective field goal percentage, 187th in opponent effective field goal percentage, with a much worse conference than Texas Tech has had playing in the Big 12. Texas Tech, 80th in three-point shot rate, so they are a three-point shooting team. NC State is 243rd in opponent three-point field goal percentage. Tougher schedule. Better overall numbers, better stylistic matchup for Texas Tech. They check every single box in this game. I'll take the Red Raiders minus 5. Moving on, Kansas and Samford. Samford's going to be another fun underdog pick for a lot of people. Not for me, though. I'll take Kansas minus 7.5. Now, I know McCullers, one of the Kansas guys, has been ruled out for the tournament. Is it McCullers? Kansas. I'm so bad with athlete names. Kevin McCullough. I think that was close enough. Isn't that what I said? Oh, for the tournament. Don't know about Hunter Dickinson yet. Let's see if there's been an update recently. Let's take a look here. Dickinson is doing great, Self said. He's actually practiced the last 2 days. So let's hope Dickinson plays, even if he doesn't. Still confident in this play. A lot of hype behind Samford. I like to fade some of the sexy, you know, highly hyped picks, especially because Samford's defense stinks. 153rd in opponent effective field goal percentage. 254th in turnovers. Like I keep saying, for big mid-major upsets or for them to at least be able to hang around with the big dogs, I want teams who don't cough the ball up and those teams that can force turnovers. Samford is not one of those teams. I'm not buying the hype on Samford. I will take Kansas minus 7.5. The final game on Thursday, actually.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'll go and do my Wagner pick here. But Washington State, I'll take them on the money line plus 110 against Drake. I've been riding Washington State a lot this season. Not a single person in the country respects Washington State, and I don't understand it. Washington State, 33rd in opponent effective field goal percentage. One of the better shooting. I think they're around 50th in effective field goal percentage. They're good just about everywhere. They beat Arizona twice this season. Not once, but twice. But yet nobody even looks twice at Washington State. Nobody. Let me just quickly look at their numbers here. If we're looking even, I bet you, I haven't looked at this, I bet you they're pretty high in average scoring margin. Maybe they're not. 39th in the country in average scoring margin, plus 7.4. I mean, pretty good, guys. At least give them a little bit of respect here. 95th, so I think I said 50th. 95th in effective field goal percentage, but where they shine is on defense. 43rd in defensive efficiency. At least give them a little bit of respect here, guys. 62nd in two-point shot rate. Drake is 246th in opponent two-point field goal percentage. They don't shoot, or Drake doesn't defend interior offense as well, and Washington State's an interior offense. I'll take the Cougars. I have not bet Wagner UNC yet. Let me take a quick look at the line. I'm not going to have an in-depth analysis on this, but I'm probably going to fade Wagner. Unless it's... BetStamp doesn't have it yet, so I can't kind of lock in my bet. Let me see if a sportsbook has it. Wagner, at the end of the day, is hurt. They're injured. They play very good defense. They don't shoot well, but they play very good defense, which can work against other mid-major teams. Is it going to work against a team like UNC? I don't think so. When is that game? UNC. Wagner. Wagner's Staten Island, aren't they? I don't think we have odds out for it yet. No, FanDuel doesn't. I'll check DraftKings, and if DraftKings doesn't have it, then I'll move on. I'll just have to tweet my picks for those games. No. Nope. All right, I will have to tweet my picks for Wagner UNC. All right, which means let's move on to day two. I will be in person watching the games in Brooklyn for day two. The Barclays Center, where the Nets play, is hosting four games. I will be there starting with the very first game of the day, and I will not be, I have to leave, I think, in between sessions, but I will not be leaving the area or the stadium until about midnight when the final game is played. I'll be very drunk by the end of the night. If you see a man streaking on the court during Wisconsin JMU, it's me. Or if you see a man throwing up in the stands, it's me. If you see a man in a UC Irvine jersey running on the court in protest that the Anteaters aren't in the NCAA tournament because they're now beating Utah 38-34, It's me. I say that because the first game of the day is in Brooklyn. It is Northwestern FAU. I will take Northwestern plus 2.5 against FAU. I think FAU is getting a little bit of value because how they played in last year's tournament. But let's be honest, FAU had a little bit of a disappointing year. I know Ty Berry for Northwestern is out, and a lot of people are going to pick against Northwestern because of that as well. But I actually think Brooks Harnheiser, if that's how you pronounce the name, I think him and the rest of the supporting cast for Northwestern has done a really good job stepping up in his absence. I also think at the end of the day, I think in this kind of matchup, you have to back the team that has the best player, and that's Boo Booey. I think Boo Booey, if that's how you pronounce his name, Booey, might just take over this game. He is the best player in this game. And Northwestern is 46th in extra scoring chances per game, which is one of my favorite stats in the tournament, a plus 3.2. I will say, got to keep an eye on Vladislav Golden, because Northwestern is also missing Matthew Nicholson, their big man. If we lose, it's because of that Vladislav guy. But I'm not going to fall for it. I will take 2.5 points with Northwestern and root for at least a close game. I will be in the stands for the first for that game and for UConn Stetson. I'm on the visitor's end right behind the hoop in like row 3. So I don't know if the camera is going to show me, but I'll fucking be there. I might fucking crack a beer at 12:15 when Northwestern and FAU tips off. How about that? How about that? Huh? You want to get crazy? Let's get fucking crazy. Colgate against Baylor. I'm going to take Colgate. My plus 13.5, minus 105. Baylor's got some issues, specifically defensively. 227th in opponent effective field goal percentage, 157th in defensive efficiency, and they turn the ball over a lot, 218th in turnovers per possession. Not a team that I want to lay a ton of points with. Now, they are a team that, in a close game, I might want to back them. But I don't want to lay 13.5 points on a team that doesn't play great defense and a team that turns the ball over, because those extra scoring chances could be enough for Colgate to keep this one close. I will take Colgate, the Raiders, plus 13.5. I will also take UAB plus 7.5 against San Diego State. I think both these teams stink, so I will just take the side that's getting 7.5 points. I think the AAC, is actually an underrated conference. It used to be the A-10 was the hipster conference. Then it was the Mountain West, which is currently now the hipster conference. I'm going to start the movement. I actually think the hipster conference is the AAC. Now that Houston has left the AAC, everyone has forgotten about it. Sneaky, great basketball. North Texas, UAB. Some solid schools in the AAC. USF. FAU, obviously. So I like the points. I would rather take, I'd take 7.5 points rather than laying 7.5 points on a Mountain West team. Now, I'll say, Utah, 10-0 run to finish the half. Yikes. Mountain West looked good tonight with Colorado State stomping Virginia, unless Virginia made a comeback, which I expect they didn't. They did not. Oof. 67-42. Oof. All right. I'm going to fade the Mountain State anyways because I've already placed the bet. Both teams stink. They're outside the top 200 in effective field goal percentage. I don't know. I don't like either team, to be honest, even though I do kind of like the AAC. I'll take the team getting 7.5 points. UAB plus 7.5. We got another total bet. It's going to be Western Kentucky. Marquette over 158.5. Western Kentucky plays at one of the fastest paces in the entire country. They are third in possessions per game. And then Marquette's a great shooting team, 22nd effective field goal percentage. Also, Western Kentucky shoots a ton of twos, 44th in two-point shot rate. Marquette, 123rd in opponent, two-point field goal percentage. So I think both offenses can cook, and I think Western Kentucky plays at such a fast pace, I think it'd be stupid not to take the over. I'll take over 158.5 between Western Kentucky and Marquette. UConn, this is the second game I'll be at. I think they're going to fucking crush Stetson. I think it's going to be ugly. I'll take UConn minus 26.5 against Stetson. Oh, if you want to look for a recipe for disaster at Stetson, 264th in effective field goal percentage, they can't shoot the basketball, 344th in opponent turnovers, they can't turn the ball over, and most importantly, UConn is 14th in offensive rebounding, Stetson is 308th in defensive rebounding. Every time that UConn misses a shot, they're just going to grab the offensive rebound and put it in. My only concern is they get up by 30, put their backups in, Stetson hits a couple late threes, and they lose by 26 instead of 30. That's the only way you're going to lose this bet. Because you, I mean, there are bad teams, but there's bad teams, and I'll get to one here in a little bit, that you can make the argument, oh, well, you never know. I mean, they kind of have the makeup of at least being able to keep it within the point spread. Stetson is not that. Also, UConn has the highest average scoring margin in the country, winning games by an average of plus 17.1. If they beat Big East teams by an average of 17 points, they can beat Stetson by 27 points. UConn minus 26.5. I can imagine, so this game I think starts at like 2:30, so it's going to be over at like 5. I'm going to be drunk. Nobody in the stadium is going to care at the Barclays Center. By the end of the game, UConn's going to be up 28. And some bum from Stetson who stepped on the floor for the first time this season, some senior, is going to take a hero shot with 1 second left to lose by 26 instead of 28 to cover the spread. And you will hear a blood-curdling scream on the broadcast. I guarantee it. And that scream is going to be me. So keep an eye out for that if you're watching this game. Clemson against New Mexico. I will take Clemson on the money line, actually. Plus 115 against New Mexico. Once again, we are fading the Mountain West. I'm sorry, Mountain West. We're going to fade you again. New Mexico, popular pick here. Popular pick, but... And I have backed New Mexico at times this season, but who do you back them against? You back New Mexico against weak interior defenses. That's why I backed them against Utah State that beat them. There's other teams that they played against, especially in the Mountain West, with weak interior defenses. You do not back New Mexico against good interior defenses. What does Clemson have? A good interior defense. New Mexico's 30th in two-point shot rate. Clemson's 49th in opponent two-point field goal percentage. Also, Clemson a much, much, much better shooting team. As much as I don't love the ACC, they're certainly better than the Mountain West. 44th in effective field goal percentage in the ACC compared to 156th by New Mexico. I'll take Clemson on the money line as an underdog. I'll take Yale plus 13 against Auburn. I've gone against Ivy League teams in the first round for a number of years. I feel like Ivy League teams always fucking cover in the first round. I'm not going to do it again. Is that anecdotal? Yes. Does that mean nothing? Yes. I'm going to do it anyways. I am afraid. Earlier this evening, I got the tickle in the back of my throat, in the back of my nose. And you've heard me sniffle a couple times. I think I'm fucking getting sick. And if I wake up tomorrow and I'm sick, and then I'm sick the next day, and then I'm sick the next day, and I can't go to March Madness games at Barclays Center because I'm sick, I'm going to be fucking pissed. I'm going to be fucking pissed. I'll take Yale plus 13 against Auburn. They don't turn the ball over. They're a great defensive rebounding team. They play a very slow pace, 293rd in possessions. I think that's enough to keep it within 13 points of an Auburn team who I really like, who I, if you listened last week, picked to win the national championship. Yale plus 13. Texas A&M, I will take them plus 2 against Nebraska. Texas A&M, I'll tell you, they can't hit the ocean from a boat. But what Texas A&M can do is they can create extra scoring chances, and I'm a sucker for it. They are also the number one offensive rebounding team in the country. Nebraska is 244th in defensive rebounding. Uh-oh. Extra scoring chances per game, Nebraska 273rd, Texas A&M 2nd, behind only Houston in creating extra scoring chances at plus 8.6 per game. That's enough, I think, to cover this two-point spread against Nebraska. Next up, we have the third game taking place at the Barclays Center that I'll be there for. Duke against Vermont. I'll lay the points to the Duke. I'm not falling for the Vermont trap. I've fallen for the Vermont trap a number of years. It's the trap where you're like, oh, this Vermont team might be kind of frisky. They had a great regular season in, what, the America East? And they get to the tournament and they suck. Not falling for that trap again. And actually, I think this version of Vermont is actually the worst version we've seen over the past few years when Vermont has made the tournament. I think this version is much worse team, to be honest. 116th in effective field goal percentage, and they don't force turnovers, which, you know, is what I look for when betting underdogs for mid-majors. I'll take Duke minus 11.5. It means I have to cheer for Duke in person. I'm not super excited about it. I kind of don't like Duke because they're Duke, but I'm going to have to do it. Alabama against Charleston. An interesting matchup because it's Alabama against Alabama of the mid-majors, because both teams shoot the three ball a ton, 16th and 19th in the country in three-point shot rate. But Alabama shoots the three ball better, and they defend the three ball better, and they've done it against much stiffer competition. The Alabama 34th in three-point field goal percentage, Charleston 133rd, Alabama 62nd in opponent three-point field goal percentage, Charleston 170th. So much, much better numbers for Alabama on the perimeter, and they've done it against much stiffer competition. And Charleston thrives off offensive rebounders against mid-major teams. I don't think they're going to grab a ton of offensive rebounds against a team as good as Alabama. I'll take Alabama minus 9 against Charleston. Longwood against Houston. I'll say this. First of all, I'll just tell you, I'm going to bet Longwood plus 24.5. I'll say this. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if there is a 16 seed that beats a 1 seed this season, it's going to be Longwood against Houston. Now, hear me out. That sounds crazy because Houston has beat almost everyone they've played this season by a million points. They have the highest or second highest average scoring margin in the entire country. It seems anytime they play a somewhat weak team, they just absolutely crush them. But teams that Houston has fallen in, has had trouble with, are teams who, as I've talked about tonight, create extra scoring chances. That's what Iowa State did, and that is what I think Longwood can do. You look at extra scoring chances per game, it is Houston first in the country at plus 11 per game. Longwood's 13th at plus 5.1. Longwood also forces turnovers, 35th in opponent turnovers, 12th in offensive rebounds. Could be enough to keep this game close. Also, a little bonus stat. Houston is 326th in the country in fouls per possession. Longwood's 5th in opponent fouls per possession. So Houston fouls a ton, and Longwood draws a ton of fouls. Now, with all of this being said, the skill gap between these two teams might be completely irrelevant, and it probably will be, and Houston is going to win this game by a ton. Still, from a betting perspective, that's enough for me to take the 24.5 points with Longwood. I might be stupid. Houston might win this game by 40, and I'm not saying Longwood's going to win this game. I am going to bet them plus 24.5, but mark my words, if there is a 16 seed that upsets a 1 seed this year, it's going to be Longwood against Houston. I'm not betting it. I don't recommend you bet it. I'm just saying. If you have to pick a 16 seed, I'd pick Longwood. They have the stats where if Houston doesn't have a good shooting game and they bring like a D-rated game, Longwood creates extra scoring chances. They grab offensive rebounds. They force turnovers. I'm just saying. I'll take the 24.5 points with Longwood. I say this and now Houston will win by 38, but 24.5 is a little too rich for my blood. I will take Longwood. The Lancers, I believe they are. Also, I did see a funny stat that said the past 3 years, the lowest seed team to win in the first round had some kind of phallic name. Phallic is Fairleigh Dickinson, St. Peter's, what was the other one? It was three schools who were like, you can kind of relate this name of their school to a penis. And if there's a school this year that you can kind of relate to a penis, it's Longwood, right? 4 years in a row. The deepest seed. Who was it? St. Peter's, Fairleigh Dickinson. Oh, I wish I could find that tweet. I try to type it in Twitter and I'm going to try to find it. I'm going to keep giving out picks while I also try to find this tweet. No, it's gone. I'm not going to find it. But I'll tell you. Who knows? Could happen. I've spent too long in a 1 versus 16 game. All right, moving on. James Madison against Wisconsin. This is the final game at Barclays Center that I'll be at. I won't remember this game because I'll be too drunk and blackout by this point. But I'll take James Madison plus 5.5. They are very good at shooting the three ball. They're 42nd in the country in three-point field goal percentage. Wisconsin, 345th in opponent three-point field goal percentage. So we got a great perimeter offense against a terrible perimeter defense. JMU, very good stats all around. They also create extra scoring chances per game, 13th in the country in that, at plus 4.7. Wisconsin's defense is going to cost them at some point this tournament. Will it cost them this game? I don't know. But there's certainly enough there for me to like James Madison plus 5.5. TCU. Minus 3 against Utah State. This might be one of my best bets of the opening round. 36th in two-point shot rate, Utah State 304th in opponent two-point field goal percentage. So if there's one thing Utah State can't do, and we saw this against New Mexico a couple times this year, they can't defend the perimeter. What does TCU do? They can't defend the interior. What does TCU do? Attack the interior. Terrible stylistic matchup for Utah State. Also, TCU, another team that creates a ton of extra scoring chances, 14th in the country in extra scoring chances per game, plus 4.8. I'll lay the points at TCU. And then finally, St. Mary's, minus 5.5 against Grand Canyon. I just like St. Mary's a lot this year. Third in opponent EFG. They defend really well, and they create a lot of extra scoring chances, 8th in the country, and extra scoring chances per game at plus 5.8. A lot to like about St. Mary's. Grand Canyon is kind of a fun team to root for, but I'll take the Gales, minus 5.5. There you go. Those are all my picks for the opening round of March Madness. I do not have my picks for the games involving teams who played in the first four game. I'll have to tweet those out. I'm not going to record a separate episode for that. My next episode, I will be recording, I guess, late Thursday night. I will give out my picks for Saturday, and then I'm not going to record Friday night, which would be wild. Listen, if you want me to record Friday night when I get home from the Barclays Center after drinking all day, send me a message. And if I get enough messages to do that, I'll record an episode of this podcast blackout drunk. If not, I'll have to record it. I don't know when I'm going to put on my picks for Sunday. I might just have to tweet on my picks for Sunday. Because if I don't record it Friday night, because the earliest I'll be able to even get the lines for Sunday will be Friday night after all the games are over. I'll be blackout drunk Friday, and then I'll be so hungover on Saturday, I can't imagine myself recording on Saturday. And then it's Sunday. So I might just have to tweet out my picks for Sunday. But I will have an episode where I give out Saturday's picks. I'll record that Thursday night. I'll be up late anyways, obviously. I'll record it Thursday night. I'll put it out then. Thursday during the games, or Friday, you can listen to my picks for Saturday. Or no, it's not Thursday. Friday at some point, you can listen to it for my picks for Saturday. I don't know. My brain's melting. It's March Madness, baby. I love it. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, listen to the most recent episode if you want my bracket. Gamble or bless. How lucky are we to bet on March Madness once again? It's the best. Rate and review the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. I interviewed Wyndham Clark last week. If you're a golf person, go listen to that on the Bet Side of the YouTube channel. Go listen and watch to Green on the Greens if you want my golf picks for this week and for weeks to come. Other than that, peace out. Good luck, gamble or bless, with your picks over March Madness, and I'll talk to you, I guess, Thursday night. Bye-bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.